Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
There has been so much that has changed in photography in the last 50 years that I've been involved. And I don't know if that's unique to my generation or if it's always been that way in photography, but it seems like change is sort of a constant thing. But usually it's a change in techniques. It's a change in materials, not necessarily a change in presentation. And that appears to be the big thing that's happening now, is a change in presentation. We used to all make individual images, matted, framed, hung on the wall, presented in a gallery, presented in a museum, presented in our home. And that's pretty much what everybody did. And the only exception to that was the occasional book that was published that was usually a collection of the very best work. Sometimes the very best work from a given location, so it was thematic. Think of Yosemite and the Range of Light by Ansel Adams. But a lot of times it was just a collection of really terrific work, but each image intended to be seen and judged individually. So one of the observations that I've had in my years in photography is how much of photography has swung toward project-oriented presentations, which I think is partly attributable to digital photography because we can make so many images so quickly now that a lot of photographers are thinking in terms of groups of images. But thinking in terms of groups of images has some difficulties that we see here in Lenswork in particular with some regularity. It's a fairly common thing for a photographer to develop an interesting idea, a particular way of making a photograph. Maybe it's a technique, maybe it's a subject. But then they carry that idea too far without enough image variation. And we probably contribute to that to some degree because of our submission requests. We want people to send in 30 to 40 images at least so that we can do some editing, not only for content, but for right and left-hand pairs as they need to show up in a printed magazine. And that's a lot of images, 30 to 40 images. But with some considerable frequency, what we find is that photographers are working on an idea and they come up with 60 or 70 or 80 or 100 images exploring a given theme or some new technique they've just learned. And although they, as the photographer, is thoroughly engulfed and enamored with this new technique or this location or whatever it is that defines the group, it's asking a lot of viewers to stick with a repetitive series of images that goes on for that long. And obviously what's missing is a certain sense of editing, a certain sense of reduction, or as I prefer to think of it, a distillation of the concept into the strongest images. They've simply carried it too far, which is good, but then they've left out the next important step, which is pulling back to distill and intensify the experience, getting rid of the duplicate images, getting rid of the images that don't work so well, etc. One would think that the answer to that would be to have more image variation, maybe from the same place that the rest of the project is or the same technique. But more is not necessarily a good thing in that regard because more might dilute the project rather than intensify it. The way I often try to think of this, it doesn't always work, I have to confess, but it's helpful, and that is, if an image is necessary for the project and the project will be diminished by its elimination, then by all means keep it. If, on the other hand, the project as a whole is not diminished when we get rid of an image, then get rid of it because it's not adding anything as the viewer goes from the first image to the second to the third. Every image needs to add a little something or it can be eliminated without diminishing the project. And as much as we are sort of encouraged to think in terms of project-oriented photography, and certainly that's true in terms of lens work, there are times when all that's needed is a single image or maybe a trilogy, or maybe a seeing in sixes, or maybe a folio of 10 images, but not 50 or 60 or 70 images. There is no question that it's easy to have too much of a good thing. I've come to the conclusion that part of the reason we have a difficult time with editing is that old business about FOMO. You know what FOMO is, F-O-M-O. It's the fear of missing out, that somehow by eliminating an image, something will be missing from the project. But I rarely find that's true. It's a fear, and it's a legitimate fear that we producers have. But sometimes I think that fear is founded in the idea that we don't know which images our audience will treasure as the best, most important. And maybe that's because we haven't lived with them long enough ourselves. What's missing is a certain sense of maturity with an image so that we can judge it more accurately. So we keep adding, we keep adding, we keep building, we keep adding, and pretty soon our project is 60 or 80 images, and all of them are our special babies that we don't want to give up. But like I say, that's asking an awful lot of an audience to endure that many images, that many variations that don't vary that much. The other side of the coin, the opposite problem that is when we have a bunch of images that we really like, but there doesn't appear to be any glue that holds them together as a unified project. That also is a serious challenge. And it's easy to assume that adding more images can increase the identity of the project because there's more possibilities where the images reinforce each other to create that glue that bonds the project into a unified thing. But in my experience at looking at thousands of portfolios submitted to LensWork, it usually does just the opposite. When the project has too many images that are too similar, it just gets boring. I don't know how to put it any other way. It's like you can't wait to get to the end. And the difficulty is finding the sweet spot where a group of images play off of each other and the deeper meaning and the connections come in the interstices between the images where we try to fill in the gaps as viewers. I've talked about this elsewhere. That's good. But if the viewer is trying to fill in the gaps and they're not finding anything new to fill in the gaps, then that's not good. Then it becomes repetitious and boring. The other part of this conversation that I think is an important one to consider is something that I struggle with myself, and I think other people do too. I've talked about this with another of other photographers, and they all seem to understand exactly what I'm talking about, and that is the temptation to build a catalog of images. That is to say, you find a place and you want to take everything there is to be photographed there. A simple example. I was up in Alaska photographing a Catholic facility where they had the Stations of the Cross. And there are, if my memory serves me correctly, there are 12 Stations of the Cross, I think. And I had to photograph all 12 of them. The project would simply not have been complete if I had only photographed 5 or 6. But I'm not sure that from a photographic project point of view, I needed all 12. Maybe I did. That's a special case. But a better example might be the work that I did at Fort Worden that created the abstract images of the paint swatches there. Most of those images came from one facility at Fort Worden. And for those of you who don't know about Fort Worden and haven't heard me talk about it in other podcasts or Here's a Thought commentaries, Fort Worden is an old World War I military installation on Puget Sound that's now been abandoned and converted into a state park. The kids will often go into these various rooms. There must be, I don't know, maybe 10, maybe 15 rooms that are constructed semi-underground, and each room is fun to explore. It's a state park, like I say, and the kids go in there and they write graffiti and whatnot on the walls. The park rangers come over to cover up offensive language and whatnot, and they do so with brush strokes of paint in random colors and without much care. They're not trying to make anything interesting. They're just covering up graffiti. But the patterns that they've painted by accident, to me, were quite aesthetic. So when I first discovered this place, and I realized that I was way more interested in the graffiti than I was in the rooms and the doors and the windows, I began what I now characterize as cataloging. I started with the very first room, and I photographed every abstract composition I could find of these painted areas, and there must have been, I don't know, maybe 100 or something like that. And then when I was done with that one, I went to the second room, and I looked for every little possible compositional abstract in that room. And when I was done with that one, I moved to the next room, to the next room, to the next room. When it was all said and done, over several trips, I might add, I had almost 900 abstract images. Of course, that's absurd. It's silly. And I look back on it now and think, well, it was fun, but it was to some degree kind of a waste of time, because there's no way I can show almost 900 abstract swatches of paint on a cement wall. No one's going to care to look at all of those. I don't even have the patience to look at all of those. And the projects that I've done with that work have usually ended up being a dozen images, 10 images, maybe at most 20 images. So they're a reasonable number of images for a viewer to look at and examine and enjoy, hopefully, but a long ways from the 850-plus images that I actually captured there. Why did I capture that? Well, in the spirit of true confession, maybe a little bit of it is an OCD-like behavior. I wanted to make sure that I got them all. Some of it may be as simple as FOMO, again, fear of missing out, that maybe there would be the most fantastic abstract composition in the next room, or the room after that, or the final room. And so, to some degree, I had to work my way through all of those rooms with all of those compositions because of the fear of missing out, because I didn't want to miss a really fantastic composition. So I kept photographing, building a catalog of those images until I had completed every composition I could find in every one of those rooms, and only later then figured out that I had almost 900 images, which, like I say, is sort of absurd. The term I like to use for that kind of approach is inventory cholesterol. It's just way too much of a good thing. But for some reason, I find it very difficult to resist the temptation to work that way. So when I find a new area that I want to photograph, I want to go back and I want to keep working it, and I want to spend all day, all weekend, all week photographing it until I have photographed every possible composition. That cataloging idea is not necessarily a healthy one. Because obviously, with the limited time and effort and energy that I have to photograph, photographing 900 abstracts may not be the most productive use of my time, because there may be other things that are not the abstracts. For example, I didn't photograph at Fort Worden the beach, or the trees, or the trails, or the campers, or the officers' quarters, or the architecture. There were lots of things I could have photographed, but instead I put all of my energy into photographing these 900 abstracts of paint swatches. That tendency to want a catalog is something I know I have to resist, because it happens almost every time I'm out photographing. I stumble across some interesting thing, and then I just want to go to town on it. Just this last week, I was reminded of that photographing in the Palouse. I had a day to photograph there. I had a couple of weeks to photograph in the Palouse a few years ago. And when I arrived in the Palouse a few days ago, I was immediately sort of frustrated that I couldn't spend more time there photographing down every single dirt road. There's cataloging kicking in again, wanting to do it all instead of looking for 20 or 30 good images that I could edit into a project of 5 or 10 or 15. Working an area extensively, I think, is inherently a good thing. But working an area extensively, doing the same thing over and over and over again, I think is not necessarily a good thing. What you end up with is too much of a good thing. It's not that anybody's going to get hurt or damaged by this, but it may not be the best use of our time. And that fear of missing out may actually divert us from doing a variety of projects. I find it difficult to find the sweet spot because I know when I find an interesting place, making 3 photographs of it is not likely to lead me to anything that will be a project or a complete presentation or even a full presentation that maybe isn't complete. But I know that making 100 images probably doesn't get me there either. Somewhere between 3 and 100 might be a reasonable number, but I'm not sure it's a number that can be defined. And instead, what we need to do is sort of be sensitive to when it is that our photographing becomes repetitive and not adding anything to a project in any way that we can foresee. Like I say, it's slightly compulsive, an almost OCD-like behavior, which we want to have enough of so that we can photograph enough images with enough variations that we can make a project, but not so that we get sucked in to trying to do them all and end up with far more than we'll ever need or use, and that accomplishes nothing more than allowing us to say, we've done it all. And we have no more fear of missing out. It's trying to be aesthetically and artistically sensitive as to when too much of a good thing is getting in the way of our productivity and instead robs us of the valuable time that we need to produce artwork that will allow us to connect to an audience with meaning and depth while neither giving them too little or too much. As Picasso said so adroitly, one of the most important things in being an artist is knowing when to stop.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.